What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
We're going to turn our attention now to Washington, D.C., where the people's resistance to a Trump militarized takeover is in full swing, providing valuable lessons for the rest of the countries we brace to be next. Joining us to discuss is Dara Baldwin, activist, scholar, and author. With over 20 years of experience in policy and social justice work, she currently runs her own equity consulting firm, Dimadrina LLC. She formerly held the position of Director of National Policy for the Center for Disability Rights. Dara also sits on the Advisory Council for Free DC, a movement led by the people of District Columbia to exert their right to self-determination. And her book, which we actually interviewed her about not too long ago, is To Be a Problem, A Black Woman's Survival in the Racist Disability Rights Movement. What's happening, Dara?
Hey! Hey, free DC, DC statehood.
I could not wait to have you on this show. I know it's a very serious matter, and I can't think of a better person to walk us through. So first, Dara, because I think it's hard. First of all, not everybody's been in DC, but even if you had, I think it's hard to imagine, even though we've got images, but what it's like to actually be in DC right now. Can you talk about what it feels like on the ground? Like, if you're walking outside, what you see, what are people acting like? What's happening?
Yes, first of all, thank you, my sister, for doing this. And we discussed this in my last conversation.
Yeah.
Told you all, we discussed this, Black women, women of color here in DC, why we created Free DC. We knew that this was coming. And it is scary. It is something out of a movie that's actually, you know, when people say this will never happen here and it's happening here. But I also want people to know, right, that this is not the first time that after January 6th, we had a military presence here. Again, we had National Guard from all over the country, not our own DC, who were covering the Capitol for about 8 weeks. And every week then we protested and said, go home, put those fences down. And yes, that was a concentrated area, right, of Capitol Hill and our neighbors who were there and people like myself who went on the Hill for visits, had to see soldiers with AK-40s every day. But again, that was a concentrated area. This is now all over DC, specific areas again, mostly where Black and brown people are, but also all over the city, really. And it's not only scary, but it's also we're angry. This is not what is supposed to be happening here. And the last thing I'll say too is it also happened after 2020. If people remember, this same man was in the White House when they were having Black Lives Matter protests in front of the White House, and he brought in Black Hawk helicopters in our space, airspace, which is illegal in this country. So unfortunately, some of us are used to this. Most of us are not, and this is not normal, and we are angry.
When you just said, you know, law enforcement agency, troops, whatever they are working on with AKs, like I remember the first time I experienced that, and it wasn't in this country, right? I was in Mexico, I think. Yeah, the first time I experienced that, and I remember the feeling in my body, right? The immediate feeling of not being safe. I read this morning or last night at some point that the National Guard is patrolling Metro Station. What does that look like?
Oh, the National Guard. And remember, yes, DC has its own National Guard. Unfortunately, three Republican states have agreed to send their troops here.
Right.
So we're going to have people who are not residents of our district. And I want to commend our residents of our districts who are in the National Guard. Some have refused to show up and say, no, I'm not going to do this. But they are also in 10 different metro stations throughout our metro network. If you know Chinatown, which is kind of the middle of DC, a little bit further, or maybe 4 or 5 blocks away from the White House, but the center of everything, that's kind of a hub where like 3 different metro lines come through, and many people who live and work here go through Chinatown. L'Enfant Plaza, another major hub of a couple of lines, again, coming in from Virginia, Maryland, people who work here, so they're there. They're at Stadium Armory, which is an interesting area. That's the south. They're in the southeast, southwest of DC. So they're all over DuPont Circle, many areas where a lot of our communities come through. And people are intimidated, as they should be. As you said, my first time experiencing soldiers was in a dictatorship country. And it is quite jarring when you are used to moving freely. And now these people have, supposedly, we know this is illegal and unlawful, the ability to search your body, search your bags, look at you and follow you. And they've been doing that to our communities. And we have been fighting back and saying no. And so they're in 10 metro stations, and they are also getting on buses as of today. So they will be on some of our bus routes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, you know, buses are more where people of low socioeconomic status probably take a bus, and also people who are immigrants and we are a sanctuary city. I don't care what these people are saying, and we protect our immigrants, but they usually take the buses into DC. And so now they're going to be on buses as of today. So that's going to be even more scary.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually, about like material impact, right? Like, what has the flood of federal agents, National Guard, military cops meant materially for the unhoused, for immigrants, for Black people, people being snatched up? They are here, right? Like they decide that you're an immigrant, it's not supposed to be, and they're just yanking people off the streets. Is that the lived reality for folks?
That is correct. We have, if you follow Free DC's social media, as well as Harriet's Wildest Dreams social media, we are posting those events. One of them on there right now, excuse me, is an Uber Eats driver who was bringing food to someone's home. And the person was like, you know, following it on their app. And they were like, oh, the person's in front of my house. Why haven't I gotten my food yet? And stepped outside. And this person was being abducted by some people in their uniforms. I'm not going to call these people ICE agents because I don't know who the heck they are. They just wear uniforms. But yes, that person was abducted. And we have that on camera. Website, on our social media. Also, this morning, I was looking. And again, in downtown kind of DC, where people are coming to work, rush hour, two men were in a gray pickup truck turning to go into their parking lot. I guess they probably do it every morning. And these people stopped them. Again, no masks. I mean, there's masks, no badges, no nothing. Three different cars. They jumped out. They took the two men out of their truck and abducted them. And our people we're videoing, we're asking people to video, we're asking people to, you know, be safe. And we have training and telling you how to do that. But we posted that one that's up about what's going on. Those two men are now gone. Nobody knows where they are. And these men took the truck that they were in and drove off. We got the license plate numbers, right? Maryland license plate numbers. We don't know who these people are. And unfortunately don't know who those two people who were abducted are, or where they went to. That's the other part of this, is where are they taking these people? Because DC does not have a prison system here. People who don't know us and know DC, we don't hold people here, incarcerated people here. We do have a DC jail here, right? Which I don't know if they're using or if they're even allowed to use because it's not federal. We don't have a federal jail system here in DC. Our people who go to prison, are sent away, far away, unfortunately. So it's quite interesting, where are they taking these people? And where are they being housed? And how are they being housed? And how they're being treated where they're housed? There's so many questions here, so many unlawful things going on here.
I'm digressing here just out of curiosity, and I only know this because of my research for my women's show, Tasha, who was murdered in Fairfax, Virginia. Could they be taking them to Virginia? Is that a possibility? Are there facilities there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they probably are taking them. Probably more than likely Maryland. Maryland's a little cold. Okay,
that's right.
Yeah. Maryland places, but again, right, DC, we don't have a prison system here. They could also be, what people also don't know and understand in DC, you name an alphabet in the law enforcement, we have it here, right? ICE, CIA, FBI. And they also do have detention centers, you know, like there is a jail for the Capitol Center too, where people go if you protest on the Hill and Congress, you get sent to that jail. I mean, there are spaces here, but are those spaces open to our legal aid services and our lawyers to get to and talk to those people? I'm not sure. Nothing lawful is happening here. We're working with a dictator. Understand this. This is a dictator. Stop saying we're moving into the dictator. We are here.
Right, come on.
We are here. And it is here in DC, and we told people. And if people don't know, It takes 3.5% of your population to topple a dictatorship. And that's what we're here to say, that it's going to be people-centered. It's going to be in your capital. That's where dictators fall. And that is us here in D.C. And we are fighting this authoritarianism. It is illegal and unlawful. I'm so glad our AG took this to court, and the courts are saying this is illegal for the president to take over our Metropolitan Police Department.
Well, let's talk about the courts, Dara Baldwin, because, you know, you're probably friends with this brilliant woman too, Andrea Ritchie. I was in a meeting with her and lots of people. And one of the questions that she posed in that meeting, and this was like at the beginning of the dictatorship in January, was like, what pathways of resistance are still available to us, right? And my work has never been, we talked about this when we were on Rosa's show, Rosa Clemente's show, right? That we're in different lanes, equally important. We need them all right now. My role has never been like in the courtrooms or in you know, halls of power. My mess is in the streets. But the courtrooms have played a, right? This there, it's another important role. This man don't care what the court says. I mean, he has flagrantly ignored any ruling that he doesn't like. So, yay to the AG. And what impact do you think the courts, the law is actually going to have at reversing or impacting or interrupting what this man is doing?
I'm with you. I mean, my sister Andrea Ritchie, you know, I work with interrupting criminalization. I'm very much a part of that. I am on both of your side. I don't know. The power, I'm not a legal eagle, that's their crew, but I know that it's important. What I do know is Congress, and I do write policy. I do understand the power of being on record, that you know, when we come back to this, when we look at this and we say, no, people follow the court. So now what are we going to do to strengthen this, to say, you can't do this, you can't ignore the courts, right? I can't, in this moment right now, all I can say is, you know, the attorney general did what he was supposed to do and took it to court. The courts did what they were supposed to do. And you're right, right? Like, that is the question here with a dictator. They will do whatever they want. Now the question is how we react and respond to it. And we as DC residents are saying no and pushing back. We have people out in the community. And that's how I think of it. And I'm with you all. I don't think the courts... I think of our work as spokes in a wheel when you ride a bike, and that we all need each other, and that if one doesn't work, then the next one steps in and comes in. But we do have, I want people to know around the country, people keep asking what they can do.
Yeah. Yep.
I believe in Congress. I do still, like, we have that system. And thank you to Representative Jamie Raskins, Representative Democrat from Maryland, who's on the Judiciary Committee in the House, our Representative Eleanor Holmes Norton, who doesn't have a vote, but she can still help out and introduce something, and Representative Robert Garcia, Democrat from your place, California, who's ranking member on the Oversight Government Committee. They have introduced a joint resolution with Senator Chris Van Hollen, Democrat from Maryland. And those of you who don't understand Congress, understand and know, if you do this work, and they will hoodwink you, do not ever do a one-sided resolution. One-sided resolution just means it goes into Congress, says there's a problem. A joint resolution, should it pass, actually becomes law. So we have a joint resolution to terminate. It's called the termination resolution. It was introduced on August 15th. It terminates the president's unlawful federalization of our Metropolitan Police Department. And Congress is coming back in a couple of days. We ask you all who have senators and congresspeople to get on the phones, to call and say, pass this joint resolution for the residents of DC. And also, if you go to Free DC's website, we have a form if you want to fill it out, make it easy for yourself, that will go to your House members and your Senate members to tell them you need to support this joint resolution, termination resolution, and help the residents of the district to get all law enforcement out of here and to terminate the president's unlawful federalization of our MPD.
Dara Baldwin, we know that a lot of resistance comes from young people in these moments, right? And clearly the regime does too, because the Juvenile Curfew Emergency Amendment Act of 2025, now through August 31st, every day, citywide, 11 p.m. to 6 a.m., young people ain't allowed to be outside.
Yes. And how about this? Do you know what starts next week?
You're gonna tell me.
School.
Oh,
Ah, there you go. And I don't know if people know, DC is in the South. People forget we're under the Mason-Dixon line. And so we start school early here in DC. Well, I'm from Jersey, New York. So, right, Jersey, New York doesn't start till after Labor Day. But Monday is the first day that our teachers go back to their classrooms to make the school, so, decorate their classes and hope, we're going to make it joyful. So we have teachers and staff of the schools, the janitors, the cafeteria workers, right? Who usually are what? Immigrant and black and brown folks trying to go back to work next week. And also Thursday, I think, is when the first day kids children will start at different schools. So yeah, you got a curfew from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. We'll talk about that in a minute, but how about during the day? And our parents are nerd. We just talked about these are our babies who are going to be going through those metros, because if you're not from DC area, we do not have school buses. Our children take public transportation to school. Some of them, right, we have free, they get free bus cards and free train cards. Some of them take the bus, the metro bus. They'll be on those metro buses and metro trains with these law enforcement, with these National Guard, I just said, are going to be at these 10 metro stations. And we also have students who have disabilities, who have different kind of emotional disorders and things like that, that are gonna, it's emotional enough to get them to get up and go to school. Now they gotta go through, quote unquote, these law enforcement and people, and it's horrible. So let's talk about that. And Free DC has been working with our educators, talking to them. Many of our teachers cannot speak out about this, but we want them to know we're there to support them. We're gonna work with safe routes to school groups and having people walk in groups and teams, making sure families have a plan, especially our immigrant children who, they may go to school and they come home and their parents are gone. And so we wanna make sure those children know what to do, those babies know what to do. Unfortunately, we've seen in New York them take a teenager out of high school. Immigrant. So we're working with our youth so that they know their rights and know what's going on. You have the right to go to school in a free and safe way. That won't be happening here next week if these guards are still here, if this National Guard and a bigger National Guard presence coming from, unfortunately, West Virginia, South Carolina, and I think it's Louis. I can't think of the third state that said yes to him, but three other states sending their guards here. So that starts next week. And that's school, right? Our children going back and forth to get their education. So that's that. And then the 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew. I just find it really interesting. Many of us have been working on this and having events for our children and youth to have joy, making them know that they're not a nuisance. They're not something that's harmful to our community. They are wanted in our community. We just have to give them the resources so that they can have fun, so that they can be with each other and they can dance and have joy. And we find that to be much more productive in our community. And that's what DC is about. And every ward, we have eight wards, is working on this in their own way because every ward is different. But our main concern now is that in less than 4 to 5 days, schools start opening around the district, and they're going to be opening with this National Guard and these law enforcements and these people on corners and snatching people off the street. Now our children are going to see this and be afraid.
I'm just going to read this really quickly, Dara, and then you're going to tell people where to go to follow you all. But it's six states. The
Here we go.
Republican governors of Mississippi, Louisiana, and Tennessee said on Monday they were deploying troops to Washington days after the Republican governors of West Virginia, South Carolina, and Ohio also did so at the Trump's administration's request. That's from an article on Al Jazeera. Six Republican states send 1,100 troops to U.S. Capitol amid crackdown. Dara, we're going to have you and Free DC back on the show as we continue. I want to bring you back. To talk about lessons because the we're DC he's there not a state. There's all sorts of things that made it a target. But you all are your resistance is providing some really valuable lessons for us. So we'll talk about that soon come. In the meantime, where can people follow the work? Where should people go for accurate information about what's happening in the people's pushback?
Thank you for that list. And DC stay hood, DC stay hood, DC stay hood. And yes, we are fighting that. And that's HR 51 and the Congress. So get your members to vote for that. And people think it's not important. It is. We need congressional record. And you can follow me at NJDC07. That's New Jersey to DC. I came in 07. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Threads, and I'm on X still, just because I need to do some things there. But I'm there, but also follow Free DC on all of the social media platforms. And again, that list you said, we have, thank you to our social media team, they are outstanding. There are directions for people from those states that Kat listed, so South Carolina, Mississippi, for you to tell your governor to stop sending your National Guard to someplace else to do something you don't want them to do. So please do that as well. And we continue every day to put things up. If you are in the DMV, we are more than happy to have you join Free DC, Maryland, Virginia. Even some people from Delaware have come down here, and some people from North Carolina have come up. So please do that. And again, contact your Congress people to support the joint termination resolution that is both in the House by Jamie Raskins and in the Senate by Senator Chris Van Hollen, both Democrats from Maryland. And also reach out to me anytime if you need anything. And thank you to our leaders, Kelsey Adams, who is a longtime DC statehood fighter, Nene from Harriet's Wildest Dreams, as well as Kaya Chatterley and Alex Dodd, who are leading this work. Of course, as women, you know how we are.
Of course. Dara, baby, I got to cut you off because I got another segment I got to do for the tyranny o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us. I will be in touch.
Thank you, baby. Care.
Peace. Peace. Peace.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.